Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
That is me realizing mid countdown. Oh, I don't have the intro music.
That's all right.
So I had to hurry up and grab it.
That's all right. That's all right, everybody. Yeah, we are running a little late today, but that happens. Welcome to the show. Whoa. Yesterday, we missed out on a video I wanted to share with you. I don't know what they call these. I don't think they're mashups, but they are audio of bands that allegedly are without musical background. So, like, if you see a music video from a band, you'll see them. Why am I explaining it? It ruins it when I explain it because...
Right. It's supposed to take
Rob
the music
Rob was here
away.
And now he's gone again.
Rob will show up.
Okay, good. So, anyway, you know, let me just say the band is... I think a one-hit wonder. The one-hit wonder called... Hello?
Hey. I'll be right with you, fellas. I'm so sorry.
I just dropped him out so we can continue. So one-hit wonder.
One-hit wonder, a band called Europe. I'm going to share it with you right now. I hope you enjoy Europe. Beautiful music video, a throwback to the good old days of 80s hair bands. Take it away, 80s hair band.
We're living together. We're living right.
Living right.
We're heading for Venus. It's a final countdown.
I don't think these are real, right?
No.
Okay.
No, they're not.
Like, the video is real, but they just add their own audio.
That's exactly what they do.
It's not that they really cut out the music.
There it is. That's how it happens. Welcome to the show, everybody. What is it? Why does it say Mike is Rob? What does that mean? Mike is Rob. Oh,
when we started the show, the names were switched.
I get it.
You know, because Rob's running late. And I did check. So Rob thought we were recording in the afternoon. I did check the text message you sent yesterday.
And?
It says, so sorry, any chance we can tape at 4 p.m. tomorrow? My son's game was changed. Now.
Oh, okay.
I can
All
see
right.
the confusion
so,
a little
no,
bit.
So, no, then it's, that's where the confusion. You assumed it was the bonus as well, right?
Yeah. Yes, I knew it was the bonus because why would your son have a game at 8 in the morning?
Exactly.
That's where my brain
All right.
went.
But that was sweating the details.
But
on
there's
that.
Yeah, there's enough with how Rob's. We know how Rob's brain has been working the past month, so I can totally understand misreading that.
So Josh is. Can you hear me, Rob?
I can. I'm sorry about that, fellas. I feel like
No. We're giving you the free pass here because the text was not. What's the word I want to use? Was not. Did not have clarity. I should have made, and I hear a little bounce back there too. So that's
The text was clearly did not say bonus show, which is a good time to tell people the bonus show will be at 4 p.m. today.
4 p.m. taping
and
on
you'll
the
get a link
bonus
in
show,
email.
And one other programming note as far as the bonus show today on the bonus show, you're going to find out a little info that nobody else is going to know. You're going to get it first.
Yes,
you're
going
to get it first. Or are we ready to go with that yet? Are we ready? Has that been confirmed?
It's like 99.9. So by 4 p.m. Bring your calendar.
All right, bring your calendar. We've got a date for you to know. So, Rob, getting back to your... Rob didn't know we were doing a show today at 8 o'clock. But hold on. Because the way the text was written... Josh understood I was referring to the bonus show, but it, you know,
You didn't.
Yeah, no.
Rob, I've done this, but I have done this before, but it's been 10 years, and well, you feel as stupid as you can feel when it happens. So I apologize for the jumbled beginning of the program.
That was my question for both of you guys. Mm-hmm. You did a morning show on the radio and stuff. Have you ever been late for your show when you were on the radio?
You know, it's funny with my history of doing the shows. I don't know whether it's late or it's hungover. And I did two shows.
We know hungover happens.
I did two shows. Well, probably a lot more than I admit to. But the real bad hangovers were back when we were doing the morning show, when I was put on the unable to perform list.
It was actually brought up on air. Mike O'Mara unable to perform. And I was a kid then.
And that
who
was
called
so.
You out?
My producer, here's the thing. We had a rating period where we were in the ratings, we went worst to first. We'd had a real glitch where we got knocked off by this terrible station that had no business beating us because we were more listened to. Back when people filled out diaries and that type of thing.
What was the other show? I know you'll never forget.
Harris in the Morning.
Oh, the classic rock station.
And we came back and beat them and beat everybody, and we were real excited. And we had this massive ratings party, I think, on a Thursday night, and we had one more show to do. And we were talking to Alan Goodman, our general manager, and convinced him that we would do an 8:30 start instead of a 5:30 start. And that as soon as he agreed to that, it was happy, happy, joy, joy. And when I arrived via cab, I was put on the unable to perform list.
At this point, were you a 5-hour show?
We were four and a half hours.
Yeah, all but right. really four because it didn't start till six. You started with Wacky Tapes at 5:30.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So,
but
do you remember
if you
push what?
It 3 hours. You're now doing an hour show and you can't mm-hmm. perform.
Right.
Yeah. It was I think it was Rick Dees that they found out that he had been pre-producing his first hour, and a competitive disc jockey hung outside of Rick Dees's home and saw him leave his house at like 6:25.
That's funny.
For a 6 o'clock start.
Yeah. Nice guy, that guy. Really, yeah. Really good guy.
And if people want to know the quality of Harris in the Morning, his cornerstone bit was called the Marching Weathermen. To make it like it was being done by marching troops, not great. Not great.
It was not fun.
It was not great.
The idea of really being late, it's a weird business because it's so not done but you're off the hook, Rob, because
you're kind of a killer too, you know that.
What do you mean? What?
Well, when you say you're off the hook, it means you're really cool.
What does it mean?
He's going with slang. Like, slang. Hey man, you're off the hook.
You're not in trouble. Not that. Okay. What would it mean if you were in trouble? You know, I mean, I've been used to you shows since you've been in Miami. So that's
thank
okay.
You. Well, Mike, be okay. Fair. Yes. Be fair. Yes. Since we were on terrestrial radio, you're used to that.
Yeah, you know, the health scare, and if you really go through all the,
I am so high maintenance. I hate myself.
You're a handful. You are a handful.
But today, I did not want to defend you, but there's definitely confusion.
Because it is. I said 4 p.m. But you pointed out the fact that the baseball game. Why would I have switched times for 4 p.m.?
Rob doesn't know if baseball's not played at 8 a.m. He doesn't know.
Do you understand what he's saying? Do you even understand the concept?
Yeah, I do. It's nice to be kicked when you're down. That's the concept.
Here's the thing. I'm kidding. I said to Josh right before you got here, I said, okay, the card has been played now probably for the last time.
I don't look at it as a card. What I look at it is,
oh,
I've
know.
Come
it's your real life. It's the
no,
way it
and
is.
I don't and it's and again, I don't even look at it that way. When I said that, it's because I've come on and I've been I already felt rotten. and, you know, is to break it down to me not understanding baseball. That's just a little extra, you know, pepper in the stew. Yeah. I didn't expect that. But, guys, I feel rotten about it. I feel so stupid about
it. Is the reason you're staying in Miami, you know, long? How long are you? Do you have a date? Do you have a return date yet?
I don't have a return ticket yet. I've got sort of an idea of when I'm going to come back.
A concept.
Yeah, I have like our president said, I have an idea
don't
of a
you,
concept.
Aren't you dying to get back with your wife?
There's so much to do down here, Mike.
You know,
lots of stuff every day.
Dude, get back to Virginia. Come on,
you know,
get back
to Virginia. The groundhog said 6 more weeks.
Yeah.
We didn't know that meant for Rob.
That's right.
Do you like Florida?
Yeah, but I like being home too. But I also feel, to be perfectly honest, I take some comfort in being here. Right now.
Okay. All right. That's cool. That's
I mean,
fine.
I'm surrounded by my dad's stuff. Also, I think it'd be kind of, I told Kathy, I said, I'll go home when we feel like it's appropriate or after I've worn out my welcome. And I don't think either has happened yet.
Is her son still there?
Yes. Josh is here, but he's gone most of the day. We only see him in the evenings because he's got a new job. He's actually based in Tampa, but he's doing work in Miami. So he's here sort of by necessity. But it's just like, I mean, yesterday, right now, I'll tell you, when I went to bed, it was not good. I was a mess last night. And I don't like that. I want to make sure that I don't try. And my biggest concern is with all the deaths I've had in the past few years, and Mike, you've experienced a lot of them too, is I've tried to sort of compartmentalize the grieving and just say, I'll deal with this later. And it ends up being a tremendous mistake. And I want to make sure that we are both, Kathy and I, both have our feet firmly on the ground and we're ready for this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And
have
I don't
you
want
gone to online or checked out any counseling sites to help you get through this?
Not yet, but I will. I want to. Sometimes if you are in a different state, it is a different deal. Like, you know, laws are different state to state. So I'll probably do that when I go to Virginia. It is tough. I want to be home. I miss my life. I miss my family. I miss my house and my dogs and everything.
Let me just do this for a second here because, you know, our personal lives take precedence over this show. And if anybody's out there and can give Rob a tip on a line to call or a hotline to call, I think that would be really helpful because there are plenty of them. I'm sure that help people through this tough time. And I think that you're probably in need of, you know, when you mentioned the hospice does everything, I think that after the fact, too, I think maybe you need a little help. And I think maybe
I'll take it.
You know,
the
idea would be just to work it through.
The hospice can't grieve for you.
No, but I mean, as far as just to help your head get through this situation.
Yeah. And it's, again, you can say your whole life that you're preparing for it and you're ready for it and you can have the longest runway in the world and you're not ready for it. You're just not ready for it. And it's weird that last night I laid down and I started crying. I wasn't thinking about anything in particular. I wasn't citing him or remembering him anyway, but I just put my head down the pillow and I felt the tears come. And it's like, God, man.
I don't want to, if I give you my feelings and my advice on it, it's only out of a desire for you to understand what's going on. But, you know, the idea of that happening, that's where things will never be the same. And one of the things I say to people, it will get better with time. It will. Every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
But it will never be the same. And that's where that comes from. You'll find that on the significant dates and on anniversaries of passings and things like that, you won't know why you're in a mood or a funk, and then you'll remember.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's,
I gotta,
that, that's
I gotta
two,
think.
3 years down the road. So you have that to look forward to.
But I got to think that the first year is got to be the hardest. And this might be a ham-handed comparison, but the first year I had of sobriety, it was like, well, this is the first Thanksgiving I'm not going to drink. This is the first Christmas I'm not going to drink. Well, this is the first Christmas that my dad won't come over to the house or can't come over to the house. This is the first birthday he's missed. And so I imagine that first year is going to be hard, but I've had so many people also tell me that the things that you grieve about are going to be the things that you end up loving and remembering them with. So negative slowly turns into positive in that way, but it's not a fast process by any stretch of the imagination. And it's, I've not been through anything like that. I'm not craving sympathy or anything. I'm just explaining where my head is at. And it's really weird. And, it's weird.
And we, Rob, I'll tell you, I use a therapy app called Talkspace. And it's
okay. And we had Headspace as an advertiser on the show, as somebody said.
But here. And I know that when I signed up with Talkspace, it did give me Florida counselors because you put your address in.
Right.
But it's not based on where your phone is. So you could sign up today.
Oh, as a home, with your home residence. Address, okay.
And it will give you a Virginia one.
Let's, and they have,
and if you're not comfortable with FaceTime, you can text as well with them. Which
let's
is nice.
Do this. In the interest of entertaining our audience, I'm going to change the subject to something that is a little embarrassing for me. I've mentioned it before on the show.
Can't be as embarrassing as missing a call time.
No, people don't know. That's fine. I think
you have two chances today, Rob.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. just to be sure, 4 o'clock, right? PM.
Yes.
Okay.
We go live. So I'm on like 3:45.
I'll be there with bells on. Mike, you were saying?
God. It's all about Rob.
I don't want to explain
my embarrassment, please.
Yes.
I used my device again.
Rob, how's your sound effects today?
I need to know which device, Mike.
Oh, his brain's not working.
His brain is not working. Let's just deal with the fact that it will not be working for the device that was advertised by a doctor online who talked about prostate health.
Oh, okay. I know where you're at. Okay. My apologies for not catching on.
Don't apologize. You're not allowed to apologize for the rest of the show.
Okay. All right.
There are two words, as a matter of fact, going forward, this might be difficult for you, two words that I never want to hear or see: my apologies. I hate my apologies. I don't like it. It doesn't make me, feel as though we're doing a good show when I hear that. The idea was that as far as my plumbing was concerned,
there it is.
In order for my plumbing to work effectively, that would be something to do. Men of a certain age have an organ in their body that enlarges and that it can be assisted by using a device to vibrate on it. And
I actually have tape of that organ, Mike.
Okay. There it is. Yes.
It sounds so sad.
So.
Stop it.
I am planning to test the theory this weekend if I can. I of course will have to have a yes from someone. It's not always easy to get that yes, but I'm sure gonna try, and then I will give a full report.
Is it not your body? Who do you need approval to do this?
I think he's trying to see. He's been using the tool. He wants to see.
I
want to
see. And who would you test that?
He wants
with.
To measure improvement.
Do you understand what I'm talking about?
I do. Okay. I thought you are looking for permission to use the device, not to check the
results. No, I've already used the device, as I just said 1 minute ago.
Do you need help with the device? Like, is it a two-person operation?
No. I want to see if the work that I've been doing has resulted in better performance in connubial relations with my bride.
I see.
And sometimes I like to talk without saying specifics. In this particular case, this is now giving more information that I wanted to give. Josh, you understand it. I think Rob now understands it. Yes. And it's just, we'll
and
see.
Now,
and
everyone's got a heads up. Be prepared.
So to speak. And I will hopefully get a thumbs up. Well, no, that's not what I want to say.
Not the best phrase.
I will get a permission to test the God damn it, this is hard. It's hard enough. But
well, it,
I want
well,
to say,
if it is, then you don't need the device.
I just, you have to have, you know, hey, are you in, you know, in the mood, like all that type of thing.
Right. What's your schedule?
Okay. Let me say this. Let's say that you are a player on a baseball team and you've been doing a lot of extra work that your coach doesn't know and you want to come and you want to be put into the game.
You want what?
You want to be put into the game because you've been doing all this extra work.
Yeah, go ahead.
Does your coach know you've been doing this extra work?
No. Didn't mention it until this show.
All right.
But it's not
probably
all this extra work. This is the first time in months that because I saw
it. Isn't
it
supposed to be like a daily thing?
Yeah, but I'm not doing that. I am not doing that. I am not. There's just no way.
It's not one of those things
way.
Where they say give it a week to see something, some action.
Yeah, I just can't. I can't do that.
Every day at 12 noon, you can't set aside?
No, it's like three times a week or something like that.
Oh,
you're supposed to.
Well,
that is an awful lot.
How about 4 p.m. today?
Yeah. No. Sure. I think we have a show.
I'll do it while the show's going. Well, you could do it while the show is going on. Technically, you really could.
You might have to tighten your gate.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit on the microphone. But speaking of your baseball reference, I have been missing out on the World Baseball Classic and decided that I would go back to consume the Baseball Classic the way I do the NFL the morning after and the way I watch a lot of Red Sox games after with the highlights, which are beautiful. And there is nothing, in my humble opinion, that will eclipse the joy of baseball that is shown by Venezuela and Mexico.
Italy's pretty good too.
It's Venezuela and the Dominican Republic, not Mexico.
Okay.
Italy played Mexico.
Yes.
Venezuela played the Dominican Republic. The one I want to talk about is the Dominican Republic against Venezuela. First of all, just these talent-stacked teams of Latin American players, which dominate the major leagues nowadays. And it was, oh, my God, the exuberance. If you thought that players show exuberance when they're playing in Major League Baseball, it is nothing compared to when they're playing for their home countries. It's amazing.
Isn't this the first year that Venezuelan's team has been taken over by the United States government?
The war is over. The war is over, and then 5 minutes later, they blow up an oil tanker in the middle of the ocean.
But
Jesus, help us.
Every team in the World Baseball Classic has something special about them.
Yeah, they do. They're very unique. And Italy being what's special about Italy is the amazing upsets that Italy has gotten over Mexico and the United States.
And the espresso machine in the dugout.
The espresso machine in the dugout where they take a shot of coffee every time somebody hits a home run. It's special. I wish it was closer. I'd go see it. Well, Rob, you could enjoy it. You could get yourself a ticket and go to the World Baseball Classic. Is it ridiculously expensive?
The cheapest tickets I could find for the first round were $150.
Come on.
For that money, I'd go see Springsteen, you know?
Oh, God, really?
Yeah. And Team USA is like the dream team of baseball. It's all superstars. But then you get a team like the European teams are my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Because like the Czech team,
right?
They go through the lineup and they're like, "Yeah, I'm a carpenter. I'm a school teacher. I'm a salesman."
Oh my God!
And it's just random people.
They play baseball because it's not big. But the teams that are the biggest surprise, Italy, and they have a. You know
well,
what?
Italy's now out, right? Italy got knocked out, I believe, last night.
Italy got beaten by Mexico. Did they? Wait, hold on. Can you look it up? Look it up and find out where we are. Because I want to find out. Hold on. I want to find out if the United States advanced.
They did. We play.
And I think Italy advanced, too. I think it was Mexico. It was find out the Mexico-Italy game. That's the one we need to know.
Now, forgive my ignorance. The United States, are these players from the MLB? These are the big shots that are playing in it?
MLB players on the United States team, the Dominican team, the Venezuelan team, the Mexican team.
It's not amateurs. It's pros can get in there
pros.
And do that. Okay.
It's pros.
All right.
Go ahead. Do you have it?
So Italy won last night 9-1.
Yeah, they upset Mexico, right?
So Italy upset Mexico.
And now Italy moves on. And
go ahead. Baseball's not doing a good job with like time in and telling you when games are and all that. They're doing a poor job with that.
They're doing a horrible job about
it. Even when I go into the MLB app, it's hard to figure out.
Let me explain this. This is the fragmentation of sports on television. This is the fragmentation of sports everywhere, of programming everywhere, mm-hmm. where there are so many outlets now that are trying to show things that you just don't get the updates that you need. And by the way, when you have the announcers doing this, they don't give enough updates on it. And I'm not watching the pregame analysis of all this. Go ahead, Josh. Right.
So here's the schedule upcoming. Friday, Korea plays the Dominican Republic. And USA plays Canada. Winner of those two games plays on Sunday for the semifinals.
Okay, so we are in the quarterfinals now, right? We are in the
quarterfinals. Then on the other side of the bracket, on Saturday, Puerto Rico plays Italy, and Venezuela plays Japan. And those winners will play each other on Monday. And then Tuesday, we have the championship.
So there are two brackets now.
There's the A bracket and the B bracket. But there's two sides. Yeah.
Now, I know you two love baseball. Is it weird that each advancement is only decided by one game? Isn't baseball traditionally a best of series?
No, the baseball classic is compacted because of the nature of the fact that it happens before the MLB season starts.
Okay.
And it was a pool of multiple games to get into like the semifinal, the quarterfinal.
I see.
So the big story right now would be Italy. Italy is kicking ass with this, and they have a surprise. I thought if Mexico had beaten Italy last night, mm-hmm. then the United States would have been bumped out, right? Isn't that true? It
would have depended on the score.
Okay. All right. Amount of runs.
If they got more than five runs, then USA got in. USA should have been bumped out simply for their coach being stupid and thinking they were in before they had sealed the deal.
It is, as Josh said, it's tough to follow. The only thing that I can tell you is the joy of the fans, and when they play a game in Miami and you have so many people from Latin America that live in and around Miami, if Mexico won and gave up five or fewer runs, the U.S. would be out because they base this, Rob, because they can't go multiple series games.
Right.
They are using runs scored as one of the criteria for advancement. So Mexico got dinged again by Italy, and that means the U.S. is still in it. We'll try to update you. The reason I'm mentioning this is because if you get a chance to take in one of these games, especially the Latin America games, even the Japanese games, I mean, it's just it's a good thing for baseball to be doing this. It's not a good thing the way they are promoting it and letting you know where it is and all. But I think that's everything now. You know, it's tough to follow sports.
It's tough to follow. And it was also that it came right on the heels of the Olympics. So it got lost in that when it's on different channels. Mike, would you like to go to the championship on Tuesday? It's in Miami.
Oh, God. What are the tickets?
The cheapest ticket is $378.
Mike, may I recommend you going to the Big Easy Casino before that and winning your money, and that will pay your admission.
That will
is
get
it
you
the
sexy.
Big Easy? That's not the Hollywood one. That's not the guitar.
No,
that's
no,
not
the
guitar.
No, Big Easy's the other one there.
The Big Easy is another casino. We've got a few of them. There's Hialeah. There's all sorts of them all around.
The one you went to was the Big Easy Casino, right?
Yeah.
Describe the Big Easy Casino in Miami, because it's not as fancy as the Hard Rock, right?
No, it's not. It is prettier than anything you would see in New Orleans. There's nothing. It's a relatively new facility. It doesn't smell like smoke.
Okay.
But it is really machine driven. If you wanted to play blackjack, they have a virtual blackjack set with a video dealer. Lots of slots, and probably they weren't using them all, but I would guess between 60 and 70 poker tables. It's all about poker there when you come in. I know, I don't like that either. Mm-hmm. But the machines were great. Any machine you want, I mean, even like they go from Double Diamond to the new one where the Asian chef spills the hot soup. They go the whole The whole reel.
I'm a degenerate watcher on video.
Do you know
of
that machine?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're all into that, and all the influencers are into that one because it's new and shiny, and it's highly volatile. And by the way...
Well, there's three soup pots, Mike. There's yummy, there's spicy, and
Did you play it?
Yes.
Do you remember years ago when you went to the one in Washington, D.C., and you talked about the Elvis Presley one?
It was the most, it was surreal. It was, the hit was so big and so fast. That was crazy.
Do you know, because of that, I eventually went to that same casino and played the Elvis game and got my ass handed to me on that?
I feel like they had flipped a switch or turned a screw or something because it happened so to a point that my father said... He was not a big gambler, and that was, I think, his first time in a casino to participate.
Mm-hmm.
And he was watching me, and you know, hit, and then a big hit, and it's playing Hound Dog and all of this. And I said, "That's what we're winning." He said, "And those are dollars?"
It was fun. I remember your big hit with that.
It bought an air conditioning system for my home.
It occurs to me right now. That when you're talking about slot influencers, it's interesting that the slot influencers usually play the most volatile games. Do you think that's an accident? I don't.
No, of course not.
Why not promote the games that win the casino the most money?
And also the shiny new machines. Because you know what? I mean, even if I had lost the Chinese soup game, I would have still enjoyed watching it.
Yeah,
and by the way, Mike, you've been to casinos. Is there a different gauge of what is politically correct when they're designing slot machines?
Yes, the Asian games. But the thing is, there's a different politically correct because they get so much Asian business.
Yeah.
They do. There's nothing like looking at the back of your head.
Thanks.
Oh, yeah, I was looking behind the curtain.
Pay no attention to the man.
He was just looking behind Graceland.
I got a picture I wanted to show you, but it's on my phone, so I needed to grab my phone. But yeah, I was at one point. Kathy was up like $200 on this Asian soup machine, and I said, "By the way, when did this become okay? Because it's not okay. Like if you were to show it on NBC television, there would be a major issue.
If there was a cartoon." An Asian cartoon based on the slot machines. But here's the thing. The Asian business that's in casinos covers that. There's no uproar with that.
That's what they say. They said, I just Googled why, and it says because of the deep-rooted influence of the Asian culture in Las Vegas.
And when you see that in any casino, you will see the Asian-themed games with dragons and all of that. And you know, you will see the Buddha that will be there.
There it is.
All right, hold it steady. Hold it steady. Hold on. What's going on here?
Oh, the camera's moving. The camera of course it is.
Yeah. All right.
But there he is. And every time you have a hit,
a little closer, please.
He puts something in one of his soup pots.
Upsize, and then when the spicy or.
And and when the soup spills, that's when the money changes hands.
Yeah. And if you had a.
He talks a lot, too.
He does. He does. That's the volatility they have.
He talks a lot.
So, $350, a little out of my range for that type of thing. It's just, but it's going to be fun. And I'm getting into it. I think that I love the pure joy the players are playing with. That's amazing.
Question, because you two are both baseball aficionados and enthusiasts. And Mike, I've known you for a long time. And Josh, you've made me appreciate the game more for the past 2 years. Is it bad for American baseball that foreign teams are apparently more excited about the sport?
No. In fact, the Team USA shows a lot of the same excitement.
Absolutely. Okay, good. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, people playing for their home country. And by the way, I was saying to my kid, and my kid rolled his eyes about 9 times. I said, that's Greg Weissert of the Red. Why is a guy named Weissert pitching for Italy? And my son looks at him and goes, Dad, because he's Italian.
Dad.
I'll have to do a deep research on that, but he got the big strikeout in the Italy game last night.
Now, when the Japanese team plays, what happens when their soup pot gets full in the dugout?
The Japanese team, I don't even know. Are they chugging along, Josh? Are they in the hunt for this thing right now? Because I have no idea.
I believe they were on the list.
You gave the list before.
Japan is playing Venezuela.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What? What's your oh, yeah for? What are you referencing oh, yeah with Japan?
Well, you were talking about that the South American countries have great enthusiasm. And mm-hmm. I know that the Japanese sort of mindset is to expect the best from all employees. And what is a baseball team but an employee of all of Japan? Mm-hmm. So well, they're going Rob, to want to make it best. What?
Rob, who is the star of Team Japan?
Oh, it is. His name is. Was it Kui Sakamoto? Is he still playing?
Kui no, the, Sakamoto.
He had a hit record in 1965.
The biggest name in baseball is on Team Japan.
Oh, the guy from the
Japan.
Dodgers.
From Japan.
Yeah. Well, he plays for the Dodgers though.
Yes.
Is it Oteri?
Yes.
Oteri?
It's Sherry. It's Sherry Oteri.
Sherry Oteri. Sherry Oteri.
You know that. You know the. No, it's Shohei Ohtani.
See, I got the O right.
You did.
I was.
You did.
I was
you
in
were
the neighborhood.
Almost there. Yes. You were. Yeah. You were almost there. We have a lot more show coming up, ladies and gentlemen, and we are delighted that everybody is here. We finally got everybody together, and the period of mourning continues. And everything's going to be fine. Count on it. We'll be right back, everybody. It's easier to start this year strong and more delicious with Omaha Steaks. Stay satisfied, get energy, and fuel your routine with premium prepackaged protein delivered to your door. From a handcrafted USDA-certified tender steak to gourmet burgers, versatile chicken and pork, and more, they have an unmatched variety of high-quality proteins that everyone loves. Right now, you can taste the difference and get an extra $35 off at omahasteaks.com with the promo code, it's different, remember that, Mike, at checkout. I don't need to tell you how great Omaha Steaks are, but I will. They are my favorite because they do beef right. Unrivaled quality and variety with every bite. Packed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Every steak is perfectly aged to maximize tenderness and hand-cut by master butchers in America's heartland. Omaha Steaks has been America's original family-owned butcher since 1917 and still cutting edge. Get it? Let Omaha Steaks deliver high-quality proteins right to your door. Visit omahasteaks.com and get an extra $35 off with promo code MIKE at checkout. Remember, new code, so pay attention. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code MIKE. Terms apply. See site for details.
Oh, yes. The news is coming.
Let's get right to it, tidbits. Ladies and gentlemen. What did you say?
Tidbits.
Oh, yeah, this is called Tidbits.
No,
thank
no,
you,
we're not calling it Tidbits anymore. We're not. Not Tidbits. Please, God, not Tidbits. We start today with a survey. Let me ask both of you guys.
All
when
right.
is the last time, and I'm talking about a new movie, Rob, not one of your artsy things that you go to, because
all right.
I would like to ask, when's the last time you were in a theater to see a recently made film?
So I guess the Elvis movie doesn't count because that's sort
no,
of a
no,
modified release.
That still counts because that's a big name in theaters now.
Okay, so yeah, I've seen that. I've been to the AMC down here. Is the
How
last
about
time
you, Mr. Soroka?
I saw the kids' movie Goat like a month ago.
A month ago. According to a survey last summer, a little more than half of us said we'd been to a movie theater in the past year. 53%, to be exact.
Wow.
Age seems to be a factor in the movie going experience. 67% of younger adults aged 18 to 29 say that they've been versus 39% of those who are over 65 years of age. Sometimes when I read a story that has that statistics, I go,
when you just like for a moment think of your age, you don't think of yourself as 65 right away, do you?
When I see it in print, no, it's not that I don't think of myself as over 65.
Right.
What I do is you talked about compartmentalization.
Yes.
I put it in the back of my head. But when it comes to the forefront, I always, when you have been used to being 65 and under, it's just a weird.
That's a
thing.
Big one. That's the 65 is a very. Now,
get
when you talk
kicks.
About the kids going, would your son, would he ever say, that looks like a good movie?
Yes.
I want to see it on the big screen.
Yeah. He
as
wants
opposed to,
go to see
waiting
the,
for it.
No, he wants to go to the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah.
Okay. Because
yeah,
Robert is here, all about it. When Robert sees a movie that, like, he loves his anime and certain stuff like that. And he'll go and see it two or three times because he says, Dad, it's better on the big screen.
And they cater to the younger audience.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't think with our kids, it's not about being on the big screen. It's about seeing it while it's hot, while it's the trend.
Well, yeah, and that's what Michael wants to go
when it opens up.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I suggested he go with his mom, because I'm That'll over be nice. 65. Mm-hmm. That's the way that goes. Domestic ticket sales have been having a slow and steady recovery ever since 2020. Over $9 billion worth of tickets were sold last year compared to the $14 to $16 billion during the 2000s and the 2010s. So that's it's coming back, I guess, yes, a little is. Bit, well, right?
But it seems movies. Also, well, it seems to me that it's modified on its return, that these are more tentpole productions. These are the big movies that are getting dropped in theaters because you're seeing movie theater quality stuff on Netflix and Hulu and all the streamers. And I mean, 55 or 65, it's easier to stay home and watch a movie, new movie.
But they're not making movies for older people. They're not making movies for that don't cater to the young audience. And the audience is the Marvel Universe and superheroes and animated and film and horror.
Always so horror, yeah.
I just would love that. I really fear that the days of like The Godfather and movies like that and Shawshank Redemption, you know, that were not, you know, those were movies that, well, I think Shawshank was maybe not a box office smash.
No, it wasn't. Was like TBS or something got it popular. Yeah.
And also, I don't know that those movies actually catered to adults. They just catered to being better movies.
The one I want to watch on the small screen that would probably be good on the big screen, too, is the new Dracula movie with that weird guy. That's how I describe the actor, the weird guy. But I have no idea the reviews that got.
But so. I know, Mike, you'll never be happy until they put movies like Nona's about the Italian grandmothers opening a restaurant. You want to see Nona's on the big screen.
That is great on Netflix.
It's not that great. I tried it again. It's horrible.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible. So movie. Oh, hey. All right. Let me turn that off and turn that on. There. Now I have it, ladies and gentlemen.
There it is.
Michael Jackson's family gathered in L.A. for a screening of the new biopic, speaking of movies, Michael. And it sounds like everybody loved it. Well, everybody except one of them. And because of that, a huge argument broke out. After the movie was over, Janet started griping about everything. A source says, quote, she had something negative about almost every scene. The acting, the makeup, how the actors spoke, even how they walked. Well, that didn't sit well with Jermaine, whose son Jafar plays Michael in the movie. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. They started arguing. This sounds to me like it's manufactured, though.
Now, why did you do a showing with the actors there for the family?
Well, he's
setting up for drama.
He is family. It's a very complicated thing. Jafar Jackson.
Jafar Jackson. They started arguing, Jermaine and Janet, and Jermaine reportedly told her, quote, "You are going to miss this wave. You are so jealous. Just get on the wave." Michael hits theaters next month on April 24th. Sounds like it came out of a publicist's office, though.
Although, the one thing I give it is that of all the Jacksons, Janet is the only one that was recently kind of happening.
Oh,
maybe
relevant.
She's just, maybe she's being honest about the movie. I don't know. And I always thought the movie, I've been seeing a lot of trailers. I thought Michael was about you.
Do we have the trailer? Josh, if you can find the trailer for Michael, the Michael Jackson movie, I would be very curious. I just want to see what, whose son is it? Jafar? I don't know whose son
Jermaine's
Jafar.
It's Jermaine's son, isn't it?
Might be Jermaine's son. I want to see what he looks like.
You know, we've lost Tito.
Did we really lose Tito?
Yes. Sorry to report.
Are you lying or did we
I'm
lose
not.
Tito?
We lost Tito.
No.
Yes.
When did we lose Tito?
Some time ago.
Oh, my God, I completely forgot that we
I'll get you a date, yeah.
Really, yeah, we lost Tito.
We lost
Tito. September 15th, 2024.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we probably reported on it when it happened, but do we have the trailer for Michael? Because I really want to see what it is before I move on.
It's just converting.
I think from the trailer, which I have seen bits of, the most impressive aspect of the trailer is the guy playing Joe Jackson, the father. Because, you know, he's going to be more than likely painted as a villain in this, because he always is. But he seems to be really good. But anytime you get someone to play someone like Michael Jackson, it's not an easy task, because that's why Michael Jackson was as famous as he was, because he was one of a kind. And I don't know if this is going to be able to be pulled off or not. We shall see.
Well, I don't think that's a fair argument, because in a movie you can make the takes over and over and over again until you get it the way Michael did it.
Here's the thing about biopics, though. The longer a person has been dead, the more credible the biopic. It's why Gary Busey was so good as Buddy Holly.
Hey, yeah. It's Gary Busey. Listen to this.
Wasn't that before his incident, though? Wasn't the Buddy Holly
getting
story
hit on a motorcycle? Is that what you're talking
I was going to try to keep it sort of kind, but I think it was before the incident, and that here helped the performance.
Here is Michael. Oh, that's a very CGI audience.
You're confident. You're strong. You're beautiful. You're the greatest of all time.
Let me tell you something. In this life.
Oh, that's good. I like that guy.
You're a loser. Mm-hmm. Y'all want to work in a steel mill like me for the rest of your days?
No, sir.
Yeah, because I sure as hell don't. Y'all willing to fight for it?
Yes, sir.
I need to hear you a little louder. Y'all willing to fight for it?
Yes, sir.
Ready whenever you are, Michael.
Do you know what I'm after?
You want to be the biggest star in the world?
We need to capitalize on Michael's success. Because the Jackson family is the brand. That's our Coca-Cola. And we need to start selling. So?
I'm planning an international tour. This is just the beginning.
I need to think.
I told you what to think.
I love my family. I just want to do my own thing. Just have all these ideas in my head. Just gotta get them out.
And do it, Michael. Not a little boy anymore.
People always told me, be careful what you do.
Michael,
I'm being quiet because I'm all in.
You have a very special life.
And mother always told me, I am all in.
I believe music can change the world. Spread love, joy, and peace. That is what I want the world to feel. Magic.
Now, I assume, since this is a Jackson family sanctioned movie, the only negativity will be around the dad. Is that about right? They're not going to probably deal
the feeling,
with
the... That's the feeling I get. And also, I think what is going to really determine the watchability of this, is it going to be a jukebox musical, which will make it very lightweight with all the records? They're great songs. Or is it going to be about the struggle within the family, which they seem to tease the trailer?
Yeah.
And that's what I want.
To tease family.
You know, now, and as far as not dealing with the... pedophile in the room.
Yeah.
I think that we'll have to wait and see. Excuse me. Sorry about that.
You know what I heard about Michael Jackson from two sources now, and I find it fascinating, is that when he talked like this, when he was on camera, that was an affectation. And when, like, when he was doing business with people, he was like, well, we got to do this.
Yes.
And, and so to think about that, if they attack something like that, I am all in.
Tell them the truth, Rob. Your voice is an affectation.
It is.
You know, to give them what you really sound like when you're off camera, please.
All right, listen.
Do the Miami lady accent.
Did you want to kill me? Who's going to paint that? Who is going to paint that?
Hey, it's Gary Busey.
Shut up, Gary.
Listen to this.
Honk.
Honk. Isn't that attractive? Yay.
Yay.
Well, I wonder what Kelly Clarkson thinks of the movie. Speaking of Kelly Clarkson, nice segue.
That was beautiful.
She is undeniably one of the most successful contestants to ever win American Idol, but she says she never received the prizes she was promised on season one. Kelly shared this during a conversation with Traitors winner Rob Rausch, who still hasn't been paid his winnings, and Daniel Radcliffe. She said, quote, "I literally was on the show and they were like, oh, you win $1 million or whatever. No, you didn't. It was like $1 million worth of investment in you." That's kind of not $1 million, but they're promoting her. And, you know, worked out for her.
It worked out. Yeah. Yeah.
Then they said, "You get a car," and I needed it because my car was bashed in. I couldn't afford the deductible. I did not get a car. And then Clay Aiken, who didn't win the second season, got a car, and his mom got a car. So she's bitching a little bit there.
But she's now worth $60 million, thanks to
that. I know.
So yeah, I think it's okay.
Yeah, but she's on crying poor mouth on that. That's the way it goes.
And meanwhile, Justin Guarini's still blowing on his soup.
Justin Guarini. Thank you. Thanks so much for remembering.
Thanks.
Buffalo Wild Wings.
Not a fan? Hate it.
I like it.
How about...
of course.
It's perfectly fine. You know what? It's because if I want to go watch a baseball game or a football game, all the other bars, they don't cater to that. That one at least caters. It's you have to either go to like a mom and pop that's for your team, or Buffalo Wild Wings.
But as far as the wings themselves, Buffalo Wild Wings or Wingstop? Wings are here.
Oh God, I might just take the cyanide on that one. I'm so spoiled with like Jimmy's Wings. They're the best, and you can't go to a place that's a McDonald's for wings and expect to get it right.
Wings need to be made in a mom and pop.
I agree.
That's the way. Yeah. Like Buffalo chips that down here or Jimmy's Old Town Tavern up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
But, let me tell you about Wild Wings. They have announced a new alcoholic drink. It is an espresso martini fortified with 10 grams of protein. So you can get drunk and drink your protein, too. They are actually calling it an espresso protini.
Okay, that's funny. That's funny. I'll never have it, but that's funny.
It is infused with their signature Buffalo Dry Rub.
Ooh, wait a minute.
They used to call me Buffalo Dry Rob.
The glass is also rimmed with the dry rub.
Yeah, it is.
We were talking about that earlier. You can order it on its own for $12 or in a $20 bundle with 6 boneless wings. They say the drink is unexpectedly delicious and satisfying.
Do they explain how they get the protein into it?
I'm not. Oh, that's so gross. There we go. He's back, though, Josh. That, to me, signifies he's completely...
Well, he's awake now.
He is wide awake. A new study has found that psychedelics, like magic mushrooms, can help people quit smoking. Some may argue that nicotine is actually a harder drug than psilocybin, but cigarettes are way more mainstream than magic mushrooms. The trial was done at Johns Hopkins University, and it compared people who experimented with magic mushrooms to those who tried nicotine patches. People who had taken just one dose of psilocybin had more than 6 times greater odds of quitting cigarettes than the others who relied on the nicotine substitute. This is a fact.
Well, did they pick up anything else?
No, they didn't. When you take the mushrooms, Mike, you're scared that the cigarettes are going to eat you. So you want them out of the house.
Now, they didn't just hit random smokers up with mushrooms. This was all done in a controlled environment under observation. Speaking of drugs replacing drugs, a recent study out of Brown University found that inhaling cannabis reduced short-term alcohol consumption and delayed drinking among heavy drinkers in a lab setting. Rob, you are walking, talking evidence of the fact
this is true,
that it replaces it and helps keep you off the booze, which
it
is better for you in the long run.
And a lot of people don't know this. Brown University is based in Vienna, Virginia.
Rob has always said Vienna, Virginia, the suburb of Washington, is all brown buildings.
It is brown. It is entirely brown.
Yes, it's an Ivy League school, too. Let's move on. Finally today, a 42-year-old man, his name, Aiden Smith. He was arrested a couple of weeks ago just after leaving a Walmart. He had 27 packs of baseball cards hidden in his clothing, and apparently he didn't pay for them. Aiden wasn't just a baseball fan. He is the head priest and dean of Trinity Episcopal Cathedral in downtown Pittsburgh. And it wasn't just a one-time sin. Walmart says that he had been inside that store 5 straight days, and he was caught by their security cameras stealing baseball cards, all 5 of them.
Wow.
The stolen cards are valued at $1,100. The Episcopal Diocese of Pittsburgh said they are investigating the situation. One church official said, "I have spoken with Aiden and assured him of our prayers for him in this difficult time." Hey, the Episcopals are doing it just like the Catholics, sweeping it under the rug.
Sure.
It's unclear what a priest would be doing with baseball cards. Maybe he was an avid collector. Compare that to what most priests do, and you got arrested for nothing. Yeah, come on now. When you really
now,
add up what a priest
to be fair, he was taking the gum out of the packs and turning it into the body of Christ.
Body of Christ, yes, sir. Yes, priest, not priest. And now that gives me my new slogan. Priest, they're not just pedophiles anymore. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing hits home like home cooking. And HelloFresh makes it unbelievably easy to enjoy feel-good, flavor-packed meals night after night after night. Now, as you know, I'm a bit of a kitchen wizard, but let's be honest, there isn't always time to go full gourmet. That's why I love HelloFresh. It brings everyone to the table with meals that are simple, satisfying, and perfect for busy weeknights. Choose from over 100 recipes every week featuring cuisines from around the world. Bigger portions to keep everyone happy. You'll find more than 35 high-protein options weekly, including new Mediterranean and GLP one friendly recipes. Enjoy meals with 3 times the seafood at no extra cost. Or elevate dinner with new grass-fed steak ribeyes that are guaranteed to impress. Because when dinner tastes this good, nothing hits like home cooking. I use HelloFresh. My whole family loves it. You should too. Go to HelloFresh.com/TMOS10FM to get 10 free meals plus a free Zwilling knife. That is a $144.99 value on your third box. Offer valid while supplies last. Free meals applied as discount on first box. New subscribers only. Varies by plan. HelloFresh. Back to the Mike O'Mara Show, and coming up, we're going to have a Soroka health update for you, ladies and gentlemen. But a programming note, we will be taping our bonus show this afternoon at 4 p.m. The regular tapings, we're ironing that out so that we can have an evening offering each week for our bonus show subscribers. But here's the other good news. We have a major announcement that we'll be making on the bonus show this afternoon. So if you are all things TMOS, you might want to check that out. And also, I understand you're going to be working me like a toilet today with the game that you have planned.
Well,
for
yes.
maybe it depends if we have time, because remember, we also have some HOA.
We got to talk about the HOA.
That's what I'm looking forward to.
Homeowners Association. Yes.
The key phrase from today's tapes will be, "Do not shout."
I can't wait. All right. So yesterday we found out that the blood pressure for Mr. Josh Soroka was really a little scary. I don't know enough about those numbers, but it seemed like you were a little higher than you should
I think
be.
I think you're supposed to be like 130, and I was like 159.
It's 120 over 80 is the total.
Oh, 120. Yeah. I was. And I was averaging like 155 over 105.
That's
so
too
way out of those numbers. And I think they were saying like a stroke is like 175 or 180.
So well, you just need to try harder.
Yeah, wow. So not quite there, but moving up in that direction. So yesterday I had an appointment with my, well, based on Monday's show, I took a screenshot of my blood pressure log and I sent it to my doctor. And he quickly responded with, "Let's meet tomorrow."
Oh, my God.
Hold on. So this was last week that you did that?
No. 2 days ago. Monday.
2 days ago, you showed him your blood pressure thing?
Monday, I sent him my log of my blood pressure. And his secretary, nurse, reached out right away saying, "Hey, he wants to meet with you tomorrow. Can you do this virtual appointment?" So it was just a virtual appointment yesterday afternoon, And he said, yeah, those numbers are way too high, and we need to do something with it.
When I call my doctor, I'm lucky, and I'm buddies with my doctor. If I can get in to see him in 3 months, when he wanted to see you within 24 hours, how did you feel about that?
Concerned.
But yeah, I would think so.
But I also was starting to be concerned myself because all weekend, all I did was lay down, watch TV, and play video games by myself. I did nothing but relax.
So you chilled. You completely chilled.
I completely chilled.
And you have a car that drives itself now, so you don't have that stress when you're on the road.
And the blood pressure didn't change. So I was glad to meet with him. He told me, he said, I need to reduce the stress in my life, which there's not too
much. Well, we'll miss you, Josh.
But, right.
Yeah, sure.
Rob will be back home soon.
Right. Yeah.
And then he said,
seriously, aren't you doing extra work now that Rob's been down in Miami?
A little bit, but it's okay. It's fine.
Okay.
It's not adding stress.
I don't want to kill him.
I got a nice prescription here now of blood pressure medicine.
Well, there
what
you go.
What are you taking? What brand? What type?
Amlodiapine.
Ah, sounds good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's made out of the shells of beetles.
But as I told you guys,
I don't know why I said that. I really don't know why.
You just put them in a spice grinder and go to town.
It's a calcium channel blocker.
Oh. All right. So you don't want to take it with milk.
I guess
or
not.
As Josh would say, milk.
Milk. Yes.
Hey, ski lady, Josh, we've been talking about it. Where have you been? He's driving around one of them Teslas with the self-driving
thing. I thought we'd get a day without talking about it.
Okay, that's all right.
No, it's fine. But so I told you going in, my blood work is always perfect. They always say I'm perfect. Everything's perfect. Right. This time it wasn't. He said, now he did tell me that I shouldn't worry about the high cholesterol, but that's okay. I wasn't that high.
Was it good cholesterol?
What was your cholesterol? Do you have your number?
I don't have the numbers in front of me.
Mike, he said that's not 1 million.
Okay. He said just focus on the blood pressure. But here's something I have never been told in my life. Well, this entire conversation is stuff I've never been told.
Okay.
But the one that floored me is that I should lose 10 to 15 pounds.
You are so skinny, though.
I have never been told to lose weight.
Oh, my
that's
God.
BS.
That is BS.
He said if I lose 10 to 15 pounds, that I will, it'll make a huge difference in my blood pressure because I am technically overweight.
Then you'll be starring in the film Praying Mantis.
Yeah. These new charts, I mean, there have been times that I have lost 100 pounds, literally lost 100 pounds. And I go into the doctor and he says, 20 pounds more would really help you.
Yeah.
And there's like no recognition of the fact that you're going against the way your body is.
Yeah, but you got to think about, now look, in fairness, you have to be aware of 100 pounds is fine, but you and I are still ridiculously out of shape, in
true.
My opinion.
That is very true. But
now currently 25 pounds above my goal weight, and I've been there since I lost 75 to 80 pounds.
Yeah.
And I'd like to get there, but the last 20 to 25 for me would be transformative. And it's just getting this, even with all the assistance I have. So, but in Josh's case,
I've put on 40 pounds since the cruise.
You have.
That's a lie.
No, that's a lie.
No, how tall?
I am 6'4".
Right.
I am 215 pounds.
And he wants you
to be
190?
He wants me to be just under 200.
Just under 200.
Around 200.
I'd get a new doctor.
Well, if it fixes the blood pressure, but it's the first time I've ever been told, maybe a little diet.
Yeah. Have you ever been told by a doctor to, put on weight? Because you're thin, man.
Well, Rob, he's being told because of his blood pressure to lose weight.
Yeah, about his history. I'm talking about his history.
With all due respect, the last person that should be doling out health advice is you.
Out any health advice.
But
I just want to know.
When you say get a new doctor, I mean, it sounds to me like they're just trying to say this will assist you because as thin as he is, that blood pressure being through the roof, I'm really glad that he did give you a prescription because there are lots of medications that can help you with that, right?
Yes.
Did he address anything with caffeine?
Good question.
No. Well, he asked if I was overly caffeinated, and I told him no. In fact, I haven't had a Red Bull since last Friday.
You drink coffee?
Thursday. No, I don't drink coffee.
You drink tea still, right?
All I've been drinking is Liquid IV and these Kirkland sparkling waters. That's all I drink.
Okay.
How are they? How are the Kirkland sparkling waters?
They're great. They're very good.
What are they? Do they have sodium in them?
No.
Okay.
No,
no sodium.
Mike, I actually vacationed there.
Calorie-free, sodium-free, sweetener-free.
All right.
I vacationed there. I took a week at Kirkland Sparkling Waters. It's a beautiful resort.
Great spot.
You must go. It is a great spot.
The soak. Have a nice soak. Enjoy yourself with a very, very nice soak. So to me, you've checked all the boxes. The weight is something that you've never been told before.
No.
But the medication, so why would it be as high as it is? You're just predisposed to it genetically. Yeah, Your father or mother have it?
I think my mom does, I believe. Okay. So, yeah, he said it might be predisposed, but I don't want to be on the medicine forever. So that's where the lose weight option came up.
Because does your brother fight it at all?
I don't know. I haven't.
Because I know he wouldn't pay for pills. I know that.
Well, I don't want to tell him I'm not perfect.
Well, good luck. I hope you do well. I really do. I'm pulling for you. God almighty, we don't need any more problems on this show. We really don't. I swear to God, I'm the one that's supposed to be failing. And I'm shoving things up my butt. Well, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, God.
Just got to tell the truth.
I hear you.
Yeah, we will be back, and I will give you a little update on style. I know you might not think of it down here, but I'll do that when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. Do you ever stop and wonder if any modern-day idiots walk among us during these desperate times? Well, they most certainly do. They're the dorks who gladly listen to the free show Monday through Thursday without being a part of the TMOS bonus show family. This is rude behavior, to be sure. But do we hate you? No. We just wish you all the joy that comes with unfettered access to all the TMOS content, because better access means more fun. You deserve more, like our state-of-the-art TMOS extras, fun and unpredictable extra content that you won't get anywhere else. Or sign up for commercial-free TMOS, which also includes the bonus show every week. Remember, your bonus subscription is the power behind everything TMOS. So when you grab that bonus subscription, you're making sure all the great stuff keeps on a-coming. For additional details, visit the bonus show tab at MikeOMaraShow.com. Get on it! Grip it. Rip it. Thank you, Mike. Anyway.
Grip it and rip it.
We'll have some new ones for you soon. Don't worry, people. I have to say that when you do, and I hate to obsess about it, the fact that I'm older and I'm down here in Florida, but you do tend to live in a bubble when you're down in Florida.
Sure.
You really do. You tend to be around people that are, you know, not totally in the game anymore, and I get that. So when this came across my feed, I still get curious, like perhaps I'm driving into work in the big city and slaying the dragon, when I see a style guy come across my feed, and he gives pointers. There are two guys I've been watching. I'll try to get a clip from them tomorrow next week on the show, where there's a guy that is a men's clothier. He shares the average look you're supposed to have when you're dressing up, and it's pretty standard stuff, like fat guys wear pinstripes, all that kind of crap.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
Then there's this other guy that comes on, and he gave a little talk on what men should wear, and it was interesting because he said men should have a uniform. And every guy should have a uniform. And he brought up the fact that...
Was he German?
No. Not that kind of uniform.
Okay.
When he was talking about it, he indicated that if you have a uniform, it's better for your branding. And if you think of people like Elon Musk,
mm-hmm.
always kind of looks the same, always has that same kind of look. If you think of people like Steve Jobs when he was alive,
yeah.
had that kind of look that he always had. Donald Trump would be another example where he's got that suit with the dark suit and the red
suit.
Tie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's his uniform.
Right.
And it kind of made sense. But when I was really thinking about it, I said, well, that's kind of tough in Florida because the uniform in Florida is kind of based around climate too. And when you see people, but then I thought about one of the successful dads that I see that's down here and he's always around his kids. And I admire him because he's got kind of an encyclopedic knowledge of Little League and the sports. And he's got kids from all the way from high school all the way down through Michael's grade. And I admire his intellect because he is a smart guy. And he kind of does that. He wears it's a Florida uniform, but it's always very, very consistent. Always a dark T-shirt, always some very basic khaki shorts that he has. And you can do it down here. But the idea of the uniform has always been something that I thought was cool for two reasons. Because you can always look put together if you get the right uniform. And I would imagine that it would be very easy to exist in the work environment if you have that. Now, we, in our business, the rules don't apply. We are in an environment where you do uniforms. You don't know.
Uniforms would work well.
I think that the idea...
If we just all dress in the same uniform every day...
You and Rob have similar uniforms.
You never know when it is.
Yeah. I think you two guys have similar uniforms. You have T-shirts with stuff on them.
Yeah. And in the winter, though, I will go to a hoodie. Love me a hoodie. But you're right. We do have uniforms. And a uniform can be good if it's generic. But what I don't like is when a uniform is like really specific, almost like a look at me uniform. Say, for example,
That's the branding part.
Well, say, for example, you worked with someone that wore a football jersey to work every day. That's a uniform that I don't think really does any good, does it?
No, and that probably doesn't count, I think, when you're doing although that is kind of a consistent look for
it
some
is.
People.
Sure.
But that's like John Daly and his pants. He's known for
that
for,
would be
that's
a uniform.
Yeah. You know, if you're known for your clothing.
And Tiger, of course, his red shirt and black pants on Sunday.
That's Nike paying him.
I have two uniforms. I have non-golf uniforms and I have golf uniforms. My non-golf, and this is not saying that we are wearing uniforms, it's what we wear. So I will give you my standard uniform is a nice golf shirt, like I'm wearing, even though I'm not playing golf today. I wear that with some golf shorts almost exclusively. I'll give them a plug because, by the way, I'm thinking about starting my own golf shop. And I'm excited about that. And more to come on that. But I wear the Greg Norman store because we've got an outlet down here where they have great prices. I wear the shorts, the golf shorts. And then on the non-show days, that'll be pretty much what I hang out in. If I am not going to the golf course, it is usually a synthetic non-cotton T-shirt. With occasionally I will have a Little League type logo on it, but really it's the synthetic kind, not cotton. I don't wear. And once again, the same golf shorts that I wear. Now, the footwear varies dramatically. I can, but it is a series of brand name shoes, either Adidas or Hoka. That's my uniform. Now, Josh, what do you have a standard uniform that you wear every day?
Yeah, my standard hanging around the house, going and running errands is just a T-shirt and a pair of Fabletic shorts.
Fabletic?
Like gym shorts, yeah.
Okay, so if you were to lift up your T-shirt, would they have the waistband? Would there be a belt or belt loops?
No. It'd be like a string.
Okay.
That's a very Florida uniform, I think.
It's definitely something that where Florida has grown on me.
Now, what about your footwear?
Footwear, Crocs.
Ouch.
But then if I go to see a client or if I'm going to church, it's a nice pair of jeans and like a dark color T-shirt with nothing on it.
And you put extra gibbets in your Crocs when you go to a nice meeting, right?
No, I've got a pair. I think they're Nikes. I put on.
Is gibbet the little like figurine that you put
in
them?
You put in the holes. Yeah.
I never knew that had a name. That's called a gibbet.
A gibbet. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and what happened? What happened, Mr. O'Mara? Well, I was sitting in a field, and I think I got gibbets.
I went with the Florida uniform of Hey Dudes everywhere, and then got tired that everyone had Hey Dudes.
And so you want to stick out a little bit. Yeah.
The Crocs.
Why are you asking me to show
I believe she's mailing one of those out.
Oh, it's great that the door opened and dogs. What? I'm shipping that today. Oh, she's shipping this today.
So. Hi, Carla.
There you go.
Yeah. Worn, show worn, a show worn hat right there.
Here, give the kids this. There you go.
Thank you, Jim Nance. Oops.
Oh, now I'm knocking everything over. All right, Rob Spiewak, to your uniform. I think I know what it is.
It's kind of crazy because, you know, we do the show every day and you really only see me from the chest up. So it, it is usually a T-shirt with a pattern, or today's a plain one, but it usually has like some sort of a stupid logo or image on it. For pants.
Did you say pattern?
I don't think so. Did I?
Okay, T-shirt with a pattern? Or
no, an applique or something on it, you know, like a
something
logo.
Something silkscreened.
Yeah, a print. Or that's a logo. Good, yeah.
Like the Marx Brothers.
Yeah, or yesterday I wore one that had a 45 adapter on it. I've got plenty of them.
Okay.
And so for pants, I wear knickers. I wear buckled shoes. And usually
do you still wear? Do you still wear cargo pants?
Every day.
You wear you wear cargo shorts?
Cargo shorts. Cargo shorts, yeah.
Where, do you buy, have you had the same for a long time?
No. Well,
can
maybe.
Can you still buy them? Can you still purchase them?
The best place Costco is Costco. Awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I might get myself, if I see a color I like, I mean, Mike, I know they're all khaki, but are there not a million colors called khaki?
And have you ever thought of, now that you're a Floridian, of changing your shorts look? And maybe going with a more of a, I don't want to say form-fitting, but more of a sleek look on your shorts where they don't have the giant parachute pockets.
No, I love the pockets. I love the pockets.
What do you put in the pockets?
Usually donuts.
No, I just didn't think.
Like if I go out, like one of, you've got your two primary pockets that don't like zip shut or have Velcro on them. But that will be like for my wallet. But for the smaller pockets up front, you can put your phone, you can put your keys. You know, you don't really need to take your keys out anymore because the fob drives the car. So you put your keys in there. If you have a charger for your phone, you can put it in there. I like the pockets. I really do. You know what? They are key if you go to a theme park. You need those pockets.
That's fair. And how about your footwear when you're out and about?
You know, I love my Birkenstocks, but one of the greatest regrets I've had of my life is I did not pack them for this trip. So I have been wearing, you know, well, I actually can show if you like.
Hard shoes?
Hard leather buckled shoes.
No, what have you been wearing with your shorts?
I have been wearing the traditional 1980s black and white checked slip-on sneakers, you know, like you'd see on Fast Times at Ridgemont.
Like Vans?
Yeah, Vans, exactly. Yeah, that's the brand.
Without socks?
No socks.
Do you don't wear socks a lot, right?
No, actually, you know, Mike, given all things equal, I would love to go barefoot everywhere in my life. I don't like shoes very much at all.
I'm close to you today. I have to say, in my uniform, I will, if I'm going out of the house, I will slip on a sneaker. A lot of times I'm wearing my golf shoes because they're hybrid golf shoes and you can you can wear them out. But today and many, many days when I'm out walking the dogs or I'm just coming in here to do the show, I get fresh out of the shower and I slip into a pair of UFOs. Are you familiar with UFOs?
You've mentioned them before, I think.
They are the slip-on like slides, but for like arch support or something. It's supposed to help like with bad feet.
Oh, is it a corrective shoe? Like a prescription shoe?
No, what's the issue Mike has with his feet?
Fallen arches?
There it is.
A little less close?
God, they're kind of gross.
But it's open-toed, like a pair of slides.
I'll like to, the next time you remark on my Birkenstocks, I'd like for you to present those.
Yeah, but you wear your Birkenstocks in public. I don't.
Yeah. Well, you don't wear those in public ever? Like if you were just going to go to...
Never, I'm not a slob.
Okay.
Just if he needs to walk on water with all that rubber.
No, these are, I really don't.
Are you saying that I'm a slob because I wear Birkenstocks?
Yes.
That's the greatest shoe ever made.
It's disgusting.
If
you walk into a restaurant and your big, nasty ass toes are out there for the world to see, it is gross.
All right, I'm not wearing them to a restaurant. I'm just talking about on day to day.
You've even worn them. That's just not the cruise. I guarantee you've worn them out to a restaurant.
No.
Guarantee. No. You're lying.
Well,
you are lying.
Mike, 100%. Not a nice restaurant.
God. Dang. We are up on a break. We have to get... Look, we will do a style segment next week on the show. We will continue this discussion. Look, how many years have we been trying to make Rob over? Forever. We really have.
Absolutely. We should do this experiment with all three of us. People are now taking pictures of themselves and asking ChatGPT how they should dress.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Right.
And, by the way, geography means a lot. I mean, when we're down here, it's a different world. And, mm-hmm. You know, the joy of non-cotton, and I'm sorry to diss on cotton, but really, down here, it just doesn't work for me. We've got, by the way, with the schedule today, do you have some beautiful video?
Always, Mike. Always. I have many
Birkins. You keep it in your side pocket, don't you? Yeah, that big balloony side pocket.
It's a third pocket that is actually closed with Velcro, and it has video in it at all times.
Nothing says style like Velcro. We'll be right back. DermGlowSkin.com. That's where February health starts, because this month on TMOS, it's all about feeling better, having more energy, and getting back to feeling like yourself. We talk a lot about telehealth and doctor-prescribed GLP-1s because they support weight management by reducing cravings, helping with portion control, and taking some of the mental battle out of food. It all starts with a simple online medical assessment, easy and discreet. And how about this? There's something new. It's called Elate Spray. I'll say it out loud. Elate Spray. It's a doctor-prescribed nasal spray designed to support desire, circulation, and emotional connection. You'll have better circulation than a Jetstream oven. Personalized care delivered straight to your door. And yes, there are payment plans available. Klarna is a favorite, and HSA and FSA are accepted. So if February is your month to focus on health, confidence, and feeling good again, head to DermGlowSkin.com. Click on the Weight Management and Peptides button and get started with a simple online assessment. That's DermGlowSkin.com.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry time.
Chicago!
Before you go on with this, Matthew Kawiki, Bidiki, whatever the hell it is, let Mike know shorts, belts, and tucked-in shirts are not a thing. I just said that. That's what I started the whole discussion with, that
exactly.
I know it's not a uniform. It's not. It's not even a thing. You wear it on a golf course, you look, you know, it's not a great uniform, and I don't believe that I am stylish in any way by wearing golf clothing. I really don't. Now, if I'm going to go out to a nice evening somewhere or a social event, I am putting on long pants. And that thank you very much. So I don't always wear that, but not a thing. I get it.
Are they long pants, or are they more like capris?
Capri pants halfway up my calf.
Exactly. Well, you've got beautiful ankles.
Mm-hmm. Tater tots are here.
Josh, let's talk a little bit about Seth MacFarlane. Can we do that?
We can.
Okay, Mike, I hate, with a capital H, Seth MacFarlane. I don't think he's as funny as he thinks he is. I don't think he's as handsome as I think he is, as he does. I just think that somehow he has landed in a way where people think he's funny. He's not. This is from the show Ted, not the movie, but the show, season 2.
Ted was a good movie. You have to admit that.
It was okay, but you know what? He wasn't in it. And seeing him,
his voice was in it. His fantastic Boston accent was the bear.
So limited in what he does.
I have to disagree with that. I mean,
do you remember when he hosted when he hosted the Oscars and he really came out like he thought he was something and he was nothing?
Okay,
he's horrible.
I don't know why.
Pile of feces is what he is.
Oh my God! Wow, that's
harsh. But in season 2, they wanted to do a bit on the show Ted about Bill Clinton, and they couldn't do it with prosthetics. So he was Bill Clinton, but Seth MacFarlane is AI Bill Clinton. Let's take a look.
What should I order? Let's see. Everything looks good. Any recommendations?
Yeah. I recommend you do a better job.
Pardon?
You're not doing a very good job. And yeah.
Well, I'm sorry you feel that way. I'd love to know your thoughts.
Well, your economy is bad.
Well, I feel your pain, and I want to hear your grievances. Listen, would you folks mind giving us a few minutes to talk? I think he's a little nervous.
Of course, sir. We'll be right outside.
Now, tell me what you're feeling.
I think you stink. and you're doing a garbage job.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, listen here, you pockmarked piece of shit. You got some set of balls. I take time out of my day to visit your little shop, and you're giving me lip? Maybe the real problem is you're just a loser.
But
you think you're so tough with your bag mouth. Why don't you take a swing at me, tough guy? I'll slap you back so hard you won't even recognize your own dick. Get a shave, you pig. The president's here. Now listen, throw some munchkins in a bag, give me a cup of coffee, and shake my hand and smile to the window so people know we're having a good time.
That is so...
That's
Let me
enough.
Tell you what I love about that. That is that could almost be real, couldn't it?
It could.
That is almost could be
but,
because
but that's
it's
the
just
problem.
Like, yeah, go ahead.
The problem is they didn't need to do AI. You could have done makeup.
Yeah.
You could have done someone who does a good impersonation. But
and
he
if you did
to be
AI, if you did AI, you should look more like Bill Clinton. He looks like a guy who looks like Bill Clinton.
But here's the thing.
And now I got to edit like 7 things out of that clip.
Yeah, sorry, buddy.
What is the deal? You're making him work like a dog. I swear to God. Like, and that's going to raise his blood pressure, Rob.
I know.
The point I want to make is the difference between public president, public politician, and behind the scenes politician. That's one of the best examples I've ever heard. That's the way it really is. That's the way it goes.
It doesn't make me like him anymore, though.
I thought it was interesting. I really
All right. All right. We part as friends on that, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia is a beautiful city, and it's full of wonderful folks. And I know we've both worked there, and we both love it.
Sure.
And if you want to get good food in Philadelphia, of course you want to go to the mac and cheese food truck.
Ew.
But they took a. There's been a mistake, Mike, and no one can get to the bottom of what's going on in Philadelphia and the mac and cheese. Josh?
Philadelphia now has quite the story to tell. The owner of mac and cheese stand Mac Mart in Center City says it was sent hundreds of containers of French onion dip. Not really something a mac and cheese place
this
would really
guy.
Need for its business.
No, and add to that, the company that produces the dip says they didn't send it. So where in the world did it come from? Our Jeff Skaversky digs into the...
Skaversky, I want to see this
course.
Guy.
We are in a little bit of a French onion pickle.
The Mac Mart on 18th and Arch in Center City was in more than a pickle
Mac
this week.
Mac Mart.
Talk about a hell of a weird story. This mac and cheese stand got a taste of something unexpected. A random email from a promotions company in Australia offering 150 cases of hell of a good French onion dip. Next thing you know, poof, it shows up. A whopping 600 tubs.
600 units is still quite scary for a small business. We had not accepted the promotion, so we had no idea it was being sent to us. And when I spoke to someone at Hell of a Good Dips, they were saying, we don't do business overseas like that. We don't have that product overseas. So right away, everything started to get weird.
So you're probably wondering, where in the world do you put
There he is.
No, be a reporter, you dumbass. I want to know why it was sent to them.
6'11". Where does all that dip go? The long and short of it, in the trash. Where do you put 600 cases?
That's enough. That's enough.
Why did they? It doesn't. There's no reporting being done. It's no.
Zero.
Like, right?
Zero. And did also, Mike, it really is.
They saw
is.
Something on TikTok and then said, oh, we'll do this.
Would they? I'd like to know why. I'd like to know.
Nothing was answered. Nothing was answered. And I just have to say, big news day in Philly that they can put, what, 2 people on this story?
That to me is local news at its finest. When I want, because I have a, because that is what I did. That's what I was trained to do back in college was the fact is when you look at that, what's the first thing that pops in your mind? You mean they don't make their own mac and cheese from scratch? It's
comes
in a tub, not answered. How about the why would Hell of a Good have anything to do with a mac and cheese food truck? Not answered. Why did they get the tubs? Not answered. It's just like, forget it. That's local news.
But they got the shot of him hiding behind the building and popping out.
Of course.
Exactly.
That's stupid local news. I hate it. I hope you have something amusing. I'm getting very frustrated.
I don't want to make you mad, Mike. So let's go to a lovely story in Mobile, Alabama.
It's also, is this the last one?
Yes, it is.
Okay, very good.
Okay, Mobile, Alabama. And we talked yesterday briefly about how you can have signs in a business or a bar that are really just there for kind of fun. Like there used to be a sign
at the 29 Tasty Diner in Fairfax by WJFK. And they were the initials of a sentence. And you have, if you asked what it was, they would always say it stands for "Your curiosity just cost you a quarter for the jukebox." So it was there as like a gag. So there are gag signs up in restaurants. Well, there's a place in Mobile called Winsel's, and they had a sign up that they actually had to honor. Let's close with this, Josh.
Winsel's Oyster House in downtown Mobile has been around since the late 30s.
No,
it's known for its walls covered in witty sayings. One promises free oysters to any man 80 years old, accompanied by his father. And it's never been done until now.
Our Shelby Myers has a rare story for you tonight, Shelby. It's a milestone.
It really is, Lenise. Today, I got to meet the Rush men. Jimmy, who just turned 80, brought in his 99-year-old father, Jim. And Winsel's made good on its promise. The Rushmen love raw oysters. Although they grew up in Mobile, they live in Florida now. But coming to the downtown Mobile Winsel's location is tradition.
My dad and I started riding in a parade at Mardi Gras on Friday nights. And
great.
So we would come down here on Friday afternoon and eat oysters. And that started in 1972.
On the walls, dozens of signs with quotes and witty jokes. But there's one that's been a decades-old obsession to Carl Rush.
But I can quote by heart. Free oysters to any man 80 years old accompanied by his father. So in seeing that sign, we felt like our dad was going to make it to 100 because he's in great health. So we've been talking about it as a family for 25, 30 years.
Okay. Thank you, Josh.
Jesus Christ
what
almighty.
What happened is that they finally were able to use the old man to get the free oysters. But, Mike, there is a happy ending to the story. The 99-year-old father ate all those oysters, he stayed hard all night.
Oh, God. Oh, God. That's everything. That's every element of an absolute best show we've ever done. Absolutely 100%. Yes, sirree. That's good stuff. We got to get out of here. We'll be taping this afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern time for our bonus show subscribers with a major scheduling announcement about something special in the future. Please stick around for that. For Josh Roque and Rob Spiewak, Michael Mara saying so long, everybody.
Love you, Pop.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Michael Mara bonus show. Get it at MichaelMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
It is all fun and games until someone gets herpes.
The rent stays like a buffalo.
Well, I don't get a brain man cold, but they're...